morning and welcome to the Wednesday, May 29th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a podcast that is dedicated to prayer, devotion, scripture reading, and Bible study. The Prayer Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. There's a lot of great listening out there, over 60 well-curated podcast, wide variety of topic areas, all covered from a biblical worldview. My brothers and sisters in Christ doing some wonderful work for the kingdom out there. I would definitely encourage you to go on out there. I will guarantee you're going to find something out there you want to listen to. And there's a very good chance you're going to find more out there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. All right. Well, we are continuing on, and it looks like I think we finally ran into the situation where my podcasts are no longer being included in the Christian Podcast Community RSS feed because I haven't swapped over yet. So I'll need to be getting with Andrew about that and trying to coordinate that and moving my stuff over. I've actually been working today on better understanding Audacity so that I better understand how to record a complete episode and just be ready to put it up. So we should be doing that shortly. But anyways, we're going to continue on. Again, I've still got a bunch of sermons and stuff I'm working on. So we're just doing our Bible reading and our prayer and devotion time. So they're going to be relatively short for probably the next couple of weeks. I will get back to it as soon as possible. I'm also trying to put some time in to studying and 1 John so that we can jump into that one and do it justice. So with all that said, why don't we go? Oh, and I want to remind you. Oh, I didn't even bring it up. I need to bring something up here that I want to remind you of. Our conference is coming up here in August. As I've been telling you, it's August 8th through the 10th. It is Christian Responsibility in an Unchristian World. You can go out and find me, Wayne Floyd, out on Facebook. I don't even remember what my Twitter handle is. Or X handle, sorry, can't tell you. But you can find me at Wayne Floyd on Facebook. My picture will be the one of a guy standing at a pulpit with a tie on, and I'm bald. So maybe that'll help you find the right guy. But on my newsfeed, I've got the link right there for you to go ahead and register for it. Again, August 8th through the 10th. It will be a wonderful, wonderful time. I cannot wait. I cannot tell you how spastic I actually am looking forward to this coming up. Great speakers. It's only $45 per person. You will not find this level of conference for that price anywhere. So I would definitely encourage you to come join us. It will be at Vail Valley Baptist Church. The address, once you click that link to go register, it'll give you the address and everything so you can map it out, figure out how to get there. I would definitely encourage you to come. And again, this is not just for pastors. This is for anybody. This is for we Christians and helping us to understand how we have to walk in this unchristian world, how we have to walk. And that's critical right now because there's so many people telling us the wrong things about how we should be walking. So, all right. So let's go ahead and open up with the fourth day morning prayer called True Christianity. Let's pray. Lord of heaven, thy goodness is inexpressible and inconceivable. In the works of creation, thou art almighty. In the dispensations of providence, all wise. In the gospel of grace, all love. And in thy Son, thou hast provided for our deliverance from the effects of sin, the justification of our persons, the sanctification of our natures, the perseverance of our souls in the path of life. Though exposed to the terrors of thy law, we have a refuge from the storm. Though compelled to cry unclean, we have a fountain for sin. Though creature cells of emptiness, we have a fullness accessible to all and incapable of reduction. Grant us always to know that to walk with Jesus makes other interests a shadow and a dream. Keep us from intermittent attention to eternal things. Save us from the delusion of those who fail to go far in religion, who are concerned but not converted, who have another heart but not a new one, who have light, zeal, confidence, but not Christ. Let us judge our Christianity not only by our dependence upon Jesus, but by our love to Him, our conformity to Him, our knowledge of Him. Give us a religion that is both real and progressive, that holds on its way and grows stronger, that lives and works in the Spirit, that profits by every correction and is injured by no carnal indulgence. Amen. All right. And our devotion, our morning devotion here from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text for it is from Psalm 45:7. Thou hatest wickedness. Be ye angry and sin not. There can hardly be goodness in a man if he be not angry at sin. He who loves truth must hate every false way. How our Lord Jesus hated it when the temptation came. Thrice it assailed him in different forms, but ever he met it with, Get thee behind me, Satan. He hated it in others, none the less fervently because he showed his hate oftener in tears of pity than in words of rebuke. Yet what language could be more stern, more Elijah-like than the word, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. He hated wickedness so much that he bled to wound it to the heart. He died that it might die. He was buried that he might bury it in his tomb. And he rose that he might forever trample it beneath his feet. Christ is in the gospel, and that gospel is opposed to wickedness in every shape. Wickedness arrays itself in fair garments and imitates the language of holiness. But the precepts of Jesus, like his famous scourge of small cords, chase it out of the temple and will not tolerate it in the church. So too, in the heart where Jesus reigns, what war there is between Christ and Belial. And when our Redeemer shall come to be our judge, those thundering words, Depart ye cursed, which are indeed but a prolongation of his life teaching concerning sin, shall manifest his abhorrence of iniquity. As warm as is his love to sinners, so hot is his hatred of sin. As perfect as is his righteousness, so complete shall be the destruction of every form of wickedness. O thou glorious champion of right and destroyer of wrong, for this cause hath God, even thy God, anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All right. Well, our reading today, hang on a minute. Need a little bit of tea there. Our reading for today is 1 Kings 2, 1 Chronicles 29, and Romans 7. So 1 Kings 2. Then David's time to die drew near. So he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. So you shall be strong and be a man. And you shall keep the responsibility given by Yahweh your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may be prosperous in all that you do. And wherever you turn, so that Yahweh may establish his promise which he spoke concerning me, saying, If your sons keep their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, You shall not have a man cut off from the throne of Israel. Now you also know what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner the son of Ner, and to Amasa the son of Jether, whom he killed. He also shed the blood of war and peace, and he put the blood of war on his belt about his waist, and on his sandals on his feet. So act according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to Sheol in peace. But show loving kindness to the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for they assisted me when I fled from Absalom your brother. Behold, there is with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite of Bahurim. Now it was he who cursed me with a violent curse on the day I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to me at the Jordan, I swore to him by Yahweh, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. So now do not let him go unpunished, for you are a wise man, and you will know what you ought to do to him, and you will bring his gray hair down to Sheol with blood. Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the time which David reigned over Israel was 40 years. In Hebron he reigned 7 years, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. And Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Then Adonijah the son of Haggith came to Bathsheba the mother of Solomon, and she said, Do you come peacefully? And he said, Peacefully. Then he said, I have something to say to you. And she said, Speak. So he said, You know that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel expected me to be king. However, the kingdom has turned about and become my brother's, for it was his from Yahweh. So now I am making one request of you. Do not turn me away. And she said to him, Speak. Then he said, Please speak to Solomon the king, for he will not turn you away, that he may give me Abishag the Shunammite as a wife. And Bathsheba said, "Very well, I will speak to the king for you." So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king arose to meet her, bowed before her, and sat on his throne. Then he had a throne set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. Then she said, "I am making one small request of you. Do not turn me away." And the king said to her, "Ask my mother, for I will not turn you away." So she said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah your brother as a wife." Then King Solomon answered and said to his mother, "And why are you asking Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him also the kingdom, for he is my older brother, even for him, for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah." Then King Solomon swore by Yahweh, saying, "May God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. So now as Yahweh lives, who has established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has made me a house as he promised, surely Adonijah shall be put to death today." So King Solomon sent Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him so that he died. Then to Abiathar the priest the king said, "Go to Anathoth, to your own field, for you deserve to die. But I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of Lord Yahweh before my father David, and because you were afflicted in everything with which my father was afflicted." So Solomon drove Abiathar away from being priest to Yahweh in order to fulfill the word of Yahweh which he had spoken concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. Now the news came to Joab, for Joab had followed Adonijah, although he had not followed Absalom. And Joab fled to the tent of Yahweh and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told to King Solomon that Joab had fled to the tent of Yahweh, and behold, he is beside the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go fall upon him." So Benaiah came to the tent of Yahweh and said to him, "Thus the king has said, come out." But he said, "No, for I will die here." And Benaiah brought the king word saying, "Thus spoke Joab, and thus he answered me." And the king said to him, "Do as he has spoken, and fall upon him, and bury him, that you may remove from me and from my father's house the blood which Joab shed without cause. And Yahweh will return his blood on his own head, because he fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and killed them with the sword. But my father David did not know it. Abner the son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. So shall their blood return on the head of Joab, and on the head of his seed forever. But to David and his seed, and his house, and his throne, may there be peace from Yahweh forever." Then Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up and fell upon him and put him to death, and he was buried at his own house in the wilderness. And the king appointed Benaiah the son of Jehoiada over the army in his place, and the king appointed Zadok the priest in the place of Abiathar. Then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Build for yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, and do not go out from there to any place. Now it will be on the day you go out and cross over the brook Kidron that you will know for certain that you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head." Shimei then said to the king, "The word is good. As my lord the king has said, so your servant will do." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem many days. But it happened at the end of 3 years that two of the slaves of Shimei ran away to Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, "Behold, your slaves are in Gath." Then Shimei arose and saddled his donkey and went to Gath to Achish to search for his slaves. And Shimei went and brought his slaves from Gath. And it was told to Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had returned. So the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by Yahweh and solemnly warn you, saying, 'You will know for certain that on the day you go out and go anywhere, you shall surely die.' And you said to me, 'The word which I have heard is good.' Why then have you not kept the oath of Yahweh and the command which I have commanded you?" The king also said to Shimei, "You know all the evil which you acknowledged in your heart, which you did to my father David. Therefore Yahweh shall return your evil on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before Yahweh forever." So the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and fell upon him so that he died. Thus the kingdom was established in the hands of Solomon. 1 Chronicles 29. Then King David said to the entire assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the temple is not for man, but for Yahweh God. Now with all my power I have prepared for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony and stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones and alabaster in abundance. Moreover, in my pleasure in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, I give to the house of my God, over and above all that I have already prepared for the holy house, namely 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings, of gold for the things of gold, and of silver for the things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the hand of craftsmen, who then would offer willingly to ordain himself this day to Yahweh. Then the commanders of the fathers' households, and the commanders of the tribes of Israel, and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, with the commanders of the king's work, offered willingly. And for the service for the house of God they gave 5,000 talents, and 10,000 derricks of gold, and 10,000 talents of silver, and 18,000 talents of brass, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of Yahweh, in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people were glad, because they had offered so willingly, for they made their freewill offering to Yahweh with a whole heart, and King David also was exceedingly glad. So David blessed Yahweh in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Yahweh, the God of Israel, our Father, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. So now, our God, we are thanking you and praising your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as willingly as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before God and foreign residents, like all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Yahweh our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours. And I know, O my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness. I, in the uprightness of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with gladness I have seen your people, who are present here, make their offerings willingly to you. O Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people, and prepare their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon a whole heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made preparation." Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless Yahweh your God." And all the assembly blessed Yahweh, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and prostrated themselves to Yahweh and to the king. And on the next day they made sacrifices to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings to Yahweh, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offering and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So they ate and drank that day before Yahweh and with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king a second time, and they anointed him as ruler for Yahweh, and Zadok as priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of Yahweh as king instead of David his father, and he succeeded, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the officials, the mighty men, and all of the sons of King David pledged allegiance to King Solomon. And Yahweh highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel, and granted to him royal majesty which had not been on any king before him in Israel. Now David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel, and the time which he reigned over Israel was 40 years. In Hebron he reigned 7 years, and in Jerusalem 33 years. Then he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and glory, and his son Solomon became king in his place. Now the acts of King David, from first to last, behold, they are written in the chronicles of Samuel the seer, in the chronicles of Nathan the prophet, and in the chronicles of Gad the seer. With all his reign, his might, and the circumstances which came on him, on Israel, and on all the kingdoms of the lands. And Romans 7. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is master over a person as long as he lives? For the married woman has been bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then if while her husband is living she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. So, my brothers, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were constrained, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Which shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. Rather, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, worked out in me coveting of every kind, for apart from the law, sin is dead. Now I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And this commandment, which was to lead to life, was found to lead to death for me. For sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Therefore did that which is good become a cause of death for me. May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin by working out my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment sin would become utterly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am fleshly, having been sold into bondage under sin. For what I am working out I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now no longer am I the one working it out, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the working out of the good is not. For the good that I want I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one working it out, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that in me evil is present, in me who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in my members, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a captive to the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. I thank you for spending this time with me. I continue to pray that our time together in the Word will help keep you and I both saturated in the Word as we need to be in this unchristian world. Like I was talking about the conference we're going to be doing. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. And I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Let's go ahead and close out with prayer. We're going to close out with the fourth day evening prayer, God all sufficient. Let's pray. King of glory, divine majesty, every perfection adorns thy nature and sustains thy throne. The heavens and earth are thine. The world is thine in its fullness. Thy power created the universe from nothing. Thy wisdom has managed all its multiple concerns, presiding over nations, families, individuals. Thy goodness is boundless. All creatures wait on thee, are supplied by thee, are satisfied in thee. How precious are the thoughts of thy mercy and grace. How excellent thy loving kindness that draws men to thee. Teach us to place our happiness in thee, the blessed God, never seeking life among the dead things of earth, or asking for that which satisfies the deluded. But may we prize the light of thy smile, implore the joy of thy salvation, find our heaven in thee. Thou hast attended to our happiness more than we can do. Though we are fallen creatures, thou hast not neglected us. In love and pity thou hast provided us a Savior. Apply his redemption to our hearts by justifying our persons and sanctifying our natures. We confess our transgressions. Have mercy on us. We are weary. Give us rest. Ignorant, make us wise unto salvation. Helpless, let thy strength be made perfect in our weakness. Poor and needy, bless us with Christ's unsearchable riches. Perplexed and tempted, let us travel on, unchecked, undismayed, knowing that thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Blessed be thy name. Amen. All right, again, thank you for spending this time with me. Again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I do hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good day. God bless.